This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points, Bet Online, our friends at Blue Wire. They're doing it all right now. And guess what? We're about to be doing it all here, too, on the Establish the Pass podcast because, Dylan, it is our favorite time of year. No, we're not making our official predictions yet for all of these divisions, but we are going to start breaking down each division in the NFL to prepare for an actual season that may happen or may not happen, but either way, we're going to enjoy breaking it down here. And Dylan, we're going to do so by starting with the AFC East, which you have some stock in because you're a noted Bills fan, one of your several teams that are your favorites here now on the podcast. But this division, a lot more interesting now, based on some departures of star players. And trying to figure out what to make of, quite frankly, what could be, I don't know if we can say this is going to be one of the worst divisions or not now, the Cam Newton effect, all these other things, but
yeah,
it's still, this is still one of those divisions that I think is really tricky to kind of figure out, whereas probably lots of others, you feel like you have those teams at the top that you are very confident in. This division, I don't know if you can say the same thing yet.
Yeah, I'm glad we're buying a little more time to make our official pick. I think it's pretty clear it's between two teams, the Patriots and Bills, for who we think is going to win this division. It's funny enough, for so long the Patriots have been a constant, but now there's all these changes. It's actually the Jets being very Jetsy,
yeah,
that is the one constant in our lives right now. The Dolphins seemingly taking steps forward finally. The Bills, obviously as well, are making the playoffs last season. High expectations this year to possibly take the division crown after all these years of dominance from the Patriots. But yes, the Jets have not failed to still, stand up to their what we believe in them and to be, and they provide a lot of good fun off the field. But overall, yeah, you mentioned this division and ranking it against others in terms of strength. Maybe it's not the worst, but it's not like the NFC West, for example, where now we're looking at Jamal Adams going over the Seahawks, and not even if that trade didn't happen, we're already looking at that top to bottom strength. You cannot say the same with the Jets there, and then even the Dolphins still needing to take quite a few steps. And honestly, yeah, if the Patriots don't live up to expectations, the Bills don't, then we could see a situation where, I don't know if it's like, I remember one season where the Seahawks won the NFC West at 7-9, but
yeah,
it's not out of the complete realm of possibilities. We get to these like ceilings and floors for each team. If these teams only get to a certain floor, man, it's going to look pretty brutal at the end of the year.
Listen, I'm telling you, this division right here has AFC South potential in terms of pure just chaos and maybe inconsistency. You know, it just seems like that's the division we always pick on. Of course, that's our brand here, is the AFC South on the podcast. But it just feels like that this one could be one of those that, man, you don't have any idea week to week what you're going to get from maybe all these teams. And, you know, we're saying that even as the Bills have made strides, the Patriots, we've talked about them, but you still kind of have those questions. And that's going to lead us into kind of our overview here for each of these teams. And we're going to go into some other picks, too, before we wrap up the episode with our division MVP and our breakout player. But, Dylan, we want to start with kind of looking at the ceiling and the floor for some of these teams. And I think it's very interesting because you're probably going to have a different answer for all these teams that we talk about in the NFL, not just in the AFC East. But, you know, if we start with the Jets, because they're the hot team right now. Like, they're the one, not hot from a football standpoint necessarily, but they're the one being talked about the most. And that's, of course, like you said, because they did trade Jamal Adams to the Seahawks. I don't think the ceiling for the Jets is the playoffs. I don't look at this even before like the trade. I didn't think they were a playoff team. Now I really don't think they're a playoff team. But at the same time, I also think the Jets could be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And so that maybe is a little concerning, right? So
I
don't know, man. I look around. I don't like, what am I supposed to be just wowed by with this Jets roster? And by the way, to add to the fact that Adam Gase, he's someone that's taken a lot of heat, you know, just already in his tenure there with the Jets. And now I know they got what they got in return for Jamal Adams, but another star player out the door. As you can tell, I don't think the Jets are making the playoffs. And quite frankly, I've said this before. I said this when we talked about the biggest questions for the teams during the summer. I think the Jets could be the worst team in this division. And that's maybe saying something.
Yeah, you're thinking to the future if you're a Jets fan, and as you have been, it feels like, for a long time. The trade, I do think they did make out pretty well with the return package for Jamal Adams. Now, if they can actually convert those first-round picks to contributors long-term, that's another question. And the culture of this team, it's hard to really believe. And you want Sam Darnold to have the opportunity, and you want to believe he still can be the guy. But they've essentially, with this deal, are punting on capitalizing on his rookie deal by the time they're possibly going to be competing. If they do make everything work, it's not going to be when Sam's still on this deal. So for this year, yeah, the floor is definitely pretty low. And it's not like last year where, you know, they were kind of a dark horse playoff pick. We obviously did not go that route because of their strength of schedule. Whereas this year they have, at least based on last season's records, the second toughest schedule. That is not going to translate pretty well.
No.
Last year their offensive line ranked 28th per PFF's. Offensive line just by totality ranking. So, I mean, you look at the offensive side, yeah, they add Denzel Mims. We'll see what he's able to do. They get Mekhi Becton to help shore up the offensive line a little bit at left tackle. But, man, it's not a lot of pretty things happening there. And it's not like their defense it finished 10th in DVOA, but it was 18th against the pass. It was fine, but it wasn't enough to really move the needle in terms of me thinking, you know, if they somehow, you know, improve without Jamal Adams and, you know, get better. Like, what are they really going to be? What is their strength? And I want to say, although Brad McDougal's still a pretty solid safety, so that is going to help, you know, filling in kind of in that role. But I just, man, ceiling-wise, I have a hard time going above, like, I think 6 wins would be, like, really good. And that's, man, it's brutal.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think 6 wins, if they get to 7, I don't know, I may maybe be surprised. Then again, look, we say that and we're talking about this division, right? It could be one of those things where, you know what, they could be bad, but so could everyone else in this division.
Yeah.
And that could pay off with a couple of wins here or there. Those could add up. So, clearly, if you're buying stock in the Jets, you're not going to find us right there beside you with our cash. I can tell you that. All right, let's go to the Dolphins. We just kind of talked about, I kind of teased where saying the Jets could be the worst team in this division. I think a lot of people right now would say the Dolphins are probably going to be the team that's at the bottom, but you know me. You're a Bills guy. Listen, I am on the Dolphins bandwagon. After we caught them, you know, quite possibly one of the worst teams in NFL history early in the season last year. Since then, I have been on the bandwagon, and we all know why. Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, my guys down there really helping the offense. And now, you know, the defense has gotten better. You feel like they're going to be better. This is another one of those situations where I don't think the Dolphins are going to take a step forward and be a playoff team this year. But we have to remember, they played very well down the stretch last year. And I know, you know, you always have roster turnover in the offseason. Things don't go exactly right back to where they were at the end of the previous season. But at the same time, you know, there's the two aspects. You know, I don't know when, if he plays, anything like that. But I'm very intrigued by the Dolphins because we saw their offense kind of take some steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
We think their defense is going to be better. And if you add those things together, like crazier things have happened for me. Again, I'm not going to say that the Dolphins ceiling is the playoffs because I don't think they're going to get there. But I do think this is a team that can maybe get to 7-8 wins or something like that. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
No, I think that's reasonable. Like you said, in terms of the Bills and Dolphins, very different situations at the moment. But in terms of culture-wise, Sean McDermott has completely changed the culture in Buffalo. And I do think Brian Flores is on the path and already has done that to a certain extent in Miami. Now, that's a big battle. And all these guys are so talented. But actually putting together that focus and that mentality, and no matter, you know, if you're racking up losses, still having an ultimate goal in your mind, I think they've done a good job with that. And so, yeah, you saw those strides they took last year. I still think talent-wise, I mean, the big concern for me is still the offensive line. Talking about PFF's rankings, the Dolphins were last year. They averaged time to pressure allowed of 2.22 seconds, 1/10 of a second faster than any other offense in the entire NFL. It's crazy. So I know they've made reinforcements. I was obviously, when we talked about the draft, was high on Austin Jackson. Glad they're able to get him. And overall, I think they did a good job of retooling the line, but I don't know if it's at the point where I'm going to feel comfortable about Tua going back there regularly quite yet, especially with his injury history. So we might still see one more year of Fitzmagic. And, you know, last year that was our question at this point of the year. We asked if Ryan Fitzpatrick was going to mess up their tank. Obviously, they're able to sit back and wait to get Tua, luckily for their sake, because at the time we thought, really, you're going to have that number one pick to get him. Same thing. I think he's able to find ways to make plays. The defense is definitely improving. So I think ceiling, I would put it just a little above the Jets for me personally, because I feel way more confident in their overall mindset as a team. Yeah, we mentioned the really talented players they have at some of the skill positions, Preston Williams, Devontae Parker. You got Alan Hearns there too, Albert Wilson. I mean, they have talent for sure. Yeah. And it's just putting it together. I think Matt Breida is an interesting piece as well. So, yeah, man, I could see them, you know, ceiling absolutely super optimistically, sure, maybe they could win 7-8 games, but again, just like the Jets, they have a third toughest schedule. All these teams in the AFC East, just by virtue of having to face the NFC West, it really makes their schedules a lot harder, and all of them have to face the AFC West as well. So there's some really tough games in these schedules for these teams. So man, I say optimistically 7-8, but you look at them, maybe if they had one of the weaker schedules, that'd be better chance. In terms of floor, I still think they're going to at least win 4 games. I think they just have too much pride, and I think what Brian Flores is, I believe too much in what he's doing. Maybe it's closer to 2 or 3 if, you know, the talent really just isn't where we think it can be, but I like to believe that they're at least going to have the right mindset going into each game.
Yep, so there you go. I'm not going to say we're high on the Dolphins, but we at least feel like that they have some potential to do some things.
In the right direction.
Yes, they are definitely going in the right direction, whereas I think if you compare it with the Jets, maybe, if they, you know, you find good value in those draft picks, but at the same time, who knows in terms of what to expect there. All right, that brings us to the Buffalo Bills, Dylan's Buffalo Bills. They're a team that I think prior to Cam Newton signing with the Patriots, which in all honesty, like, we can probably just group these teams together, because I think what's interesting here is before he signed, I think a lot of people thought that, okay, the Bills are finally going to be that, like, they're going to dethrone the Patriots. You feel like because of what the Bills did last season, they're going to be able to carry that over into this year. Their roster looks very similar for the most part. But now I think by adding Cam and having a more known commodity at quarterback, and not just a known commodity, I mean someone that has proven that when healthy he can be one of the best in the game, it completely changes, I think, the way you look at the Bills. And I don't know if that's right or wrong, because it changes how you look at the Patriots. And so I think these two teams are very interesting, and I want to say that they're very similar in terms of where they could land on the spectrum for me, because I don't think either one of these teams are maybe going to go out and win 12-plus games or anything like that. But, you know, I do think the potential is there to hit that double-digit win mark for both. But I also think, you know, if either one of these teams went 7-9, would I be shocked? I honestly don't know that either. And so I think maybe we group them together because I do think there are a lot of similarities between these two.
Yeah, I like you said, now, especially with the Patriots, with all the getting Cam, and it really does bring them closer. I mean, even then, I still may have picked them, even not knowing what was going to happen with Stidham to win this division, just because of the defense and Bill Belichick and what they're able to game plan around, the talent they have. So, yeah, I mean, the Bills, I don't think there have been some things you'll see, like there's a concern they could have the equivalent of what happened to the Jaguars. I mentioned that before, where they had that great season, all are on the verge of making the Super Bowl, and then end up completely tail spinning backwards. And I just don't believe that's going to happen with what Sean McDermott's done there. I still, again, these teams have really tough schedules. They both, at least according to ESPN's projections, both are projected exactly to have the same number of wins, 8.6. And that's what we talk about with a team 8, 9, 10 wins. I mean, 8, 9 might be enough to win the division. So I expect both defenses to be really strong still. I still think the Patriots defense, maybe it's not going to be the number one in DVOA again, but I think they're going to be in that top five. The Bills are going to be hovering around there. Still some concerns maybe a bit on the Bills' run defense, but overall I do think they're still a really stout unit, another year together. It's going to be interesting. When these teams play each other, I anticipate kind of like that game I think we saw in week 16, where it was like 13-10 or whatever. It's just not going to be the prettiest football at all times for either offense. I am optimistic that Cam is fully healthy and we're going to see some crazy cyborg out there that's, you know, allowing the Patriots to just completely run away with the division. But I do think both teams, I think of them very, very similarly, and that's why said I'm very happy we're not making our predictions yet for each for the division winners, because these two teams are very, obviously the schedules just being the same division are very similar, but just such similar situations now. And it's you know, still, even though the Patriots were down a bit last year, not getting a bye, but they still won the division, and they still have to, you know, even though Tom's not there, the Bills still have to get over that mountain, still have to win this division. So is this the year? I'm not positive yet, but both teams' floors are probably, and ceilings are probably similar. Ceilings are probably 11 win range or so, maybe 12 for the Patriots, maybe a tad higher for New England. The floor maybe like 5, 7, maybe 6 wins, but that's just absolute floor. I don't think they're going to get down that low. But if the Bills' offense does fall apart and the defense isn't, you know, elite again, then sure, they could win only 5 games just because their schedule is so tough and it is a strange season. So, Patriots, I have a hard time thinking with Belichick they lose more than 9 games. But, maybe 6 wins, I'll say, is their absolute floor.
Yeah, very, very similar. We'll see kind of how it goes for them. But at the same time, you know, we talk about not knowing if this division is going to be great from top to bottom. You know, we can see the Bills and Patriots each win 11 games, and, you know, all of a sudden it just kind of changes the landscape of it. Yeah. But we know about the Bills and the Patriots in the AFC East. That's going to be the battle. But let me ask you this, and that is, do you know about DealDash? Because DealDash.com is the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you never expect. And guess what? You can do it at a price you never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. Yes, cars. Here's how it works. It's just like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every single time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids. Yes, 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. All you got to do, go to deal-.com and use the offer code ETP or deal-.fm/ETP. That's deal-.fm/ETP. And our friends at BetOnline, we've mentioned them a lot, and sports coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball finally kicking off this week. It's been an interesting start, to say the least, and yet there is still no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return to sports, look at this. BetOnline also sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. You can see what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. All you got to do to see that, visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use the promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. That's your promo code if you want the welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. All right, now we move into the fun, exciting parts here. I guess if you know, you're a Jets and Dolphins fans, we talked about enough negative things with those two teams. But now we move into the exciting picks, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick our breakout player for this particular division here in the AFC East. As we said, we'll hold our predictions and all that good stuff until we do our big predictions episode right before the season starts. But we're going to make some picks here on a couple different things, and we're going to do our breakout player. Now, this is an interesting one because, obviously, breakout player, you know, your answer is your own perspective on what you consider a breakout player. But I'd say, yeah, I mean, I think most of us would be basically – you could also, I guess, kind of tie it into being an underrated player that you think's just maybe not getting enough credit, or someone that's just going to completely burst onto the scene, like a rookie, for example. So that's kind of our criteria that we're using here for breakout player. Dylan, I will let you go first because unlike our division MVP one, there are a lot of candidates when it comes to breakout player probably here in this particular division.
Yeah, I'd love to the guys that kind of came to mind first. I realize now, in my opinion, you were saying, you know, that plays a decent role here. In my opinion, they broke out last year in both Davante Adams and Preston Williams. Those two, I think they had their breakout seasons, and maybe not guys we necessarily would have picked before last year. So I'm not going to go with them. I don't think this is the year we see Tua take off and with, you know, how we believe he can perform in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm going to slide away from the Dolphins as much as I would love to go with one of those guys from there. The Jets running down their roster, man, I don't see it's rough. Like, and Sam Darnold would really have to take off for me to consider him in this vein, and I just don't see it happening. So we're going to quickly move aside from them. And then the Bills, too, not a lot of guys that are, you know, like, if Singletary has a better season, I'm not going to say he's a breakout player because he was pretty damn good last year.
Yeah.
It's just hard to say that. Obviously, Diggs, you can't possibly say that. John Brown's been all the guys that I'm thinking of at these skill positions, maybe AJ Epenesa is a candidate if he just really quickly becomes, you know, racks up a lot of sacks, racks up a lot of big numbers. You could maybe mention him. But I'm going to go with the guy on the Patriots who there were high expectations last year, did not live up to them. So now he's in year two, and he does kind of fit with his skill set for Cam Newton, and that's N'Keal Harry. I don't know if this pick's going to backfire. It very well could, but I think he's going to have a huge opportunity. I do think the Patriots plan to use him quite a bit in this offense. Cam is, I mean, he doesn't have necessarily the best separation skills of the line, but Cam has been with, you know, in Carolina with a lot of really big receivers, with guys that he's able to throw the ball up, has experience with them, and that kind of setup. I do think N'Keal Harry's skill set does match what Cam's able to offer and what he's got, who he's played with in the past. So I think that is a guy, fantasy wise, but also for the Patriots, we look at their receiving corps and we have a lot of concern about what they're going to be able to do, and just as we had last year. I think N'Keal Harry is going to get that opportunity, and I think this is reasonable to think he could put up maybe not the numbers that we saw from Devontae Parker and then at times the performances of Preston Williams last year. But I do think compared to the 2019 season, it could be a really big year for N'Keal Harry.
All right, well, I'm going to go with a receiver too, and I'm just going to go ahead and just take the one you said you weren't going to take. I'm going to go with Preston Williams. Like, I think because he only played, what was it, 8 games? Yeah, that's so true. I guess technically I can still consider him a breakout player. Of course, if you read my weekly waiver wire pickups, it basically became the Preston Williams show for the first 8 weeks. I think it was Preston Williams and DJ Chark, which, hey, we hit on both of those. Devontae Parker was in there too. But I think Preston Williams is probably the easy choice for me because, look, he was so good, and we saw what he's capable of. Now, at the same time, I will say this. I mean, he tore his ACL, and, like, we always certainly are going to have some concerns about that when you're coming back from an injury of that, you know, magnitude. And so that's something to keep in mind. But I still think, you know, kind of looking at everything, it seems like he's on track, going to be ready to go. So because of that, I feel like he showed what he could do. And, I mean, Devontae Parker, you would put definitely above that great, I think, a breakout player. Like, he had his breakout season last year. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with the other one, and I'll take Preston Williams as my pick for this one. You know, but like we said, there are so many other guys we could pick here because we're picking two choices from teams with, you know, 53 players on it. It's just like, you know, we're picking from four different teams here. So it's a tough one, but there you go. Two receivers. We're sticking to the offense for this one.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it is true. With only playing the 8 games, the Preston still, once we see a full season, if he plays like he did last year with even a little higher clip over the full campaign, definitely makes sense for him to be in this vein. Yeah, if you said Devontae Parker, I think already has to be considered that he did break out last year. Preston, maybe, you know, especially if you're fantasy-wise, if you're sleeping on him, I think that's a bad idea. Definitely, you know, maybe a kind of a deeper pick where you could rely on him to drop a bit. But I do think, yeah, he's going to have a lot of value and excited to see what he's going to be able to bring. And, yeah, it makes sense in terms of the break. It's like you said, though, there's so many guys. It's hard to, like, we wouldn't have probably known who was going to break out the same way last year. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. There are some other candidates that maybe don't stick out the same way the skill position players do as well that I'm sure are going to have really big years.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with this one. Like I said, we'll talk more about these teams in our bigger predictions episode, but this is kind of your little overview here, just some simple projections looking ahead to how things are going to look here. But this is our division MVP pick, and for this one, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think you could probably consider, for me, I narrowed this down to three. And it's hard for me to kind of make the defining, because look, I mean, we know who one of them is. We know Cam is one of them, because, like, if he comes out and plays well, Patriots win 12 games, he's probably going to be the division MVP. Like, yeah, just that's the way it is. Like, he will probably be considered the most valuable player in this division. But you know, there's still a lot of unknowns with that one too. So it's almost like, do you go that route or do you go with kind of that proven guy at the very top of his, you know, what he does, you know, he's at the very top. And obviously I'm talking about Stephon Gilmore. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's someone that's so important because we've said this, you know, and we just kind of said it with Cam thing. If Cam's not, you know, not at that MVP caliber level, and I'm not saying, you know, he's going to get to that point, but the Patriots defense is going to have to be really good. Like, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, the defense, it may be not going to be as good as they were last year, but they've still got to be really dang good if they want to be a team that can go, you know, deep in the playoffs. So I think that's who I will go with here. I think that's maybe the easiest choice, but I also did consider Stephon Diggs too, because if he comes in and can transform that Bills offense, then, you know, if the Bills win the division and he comes in, he makes Josh Allen a better quarterback and he's, you know, basically as good as we know he is, then I think that makes it more interesting. And so I'll go with Gilmore, though. I just, you know, it's not, you know, picking a defensive player as MVP, but when you're as good as he is, come on, right?
Yeah, I think on the flips, I'm, you know, still for a corner. Tre'Davious White was a guy that I just thought of initially. Yeah. If the Bills defense takes another jump up, and he's able to be just as dominant, still, you know, should be considered one of the best corners in the NFL. I would consider him. Diggs is a good point, just because as much as I want to look at some of the other talent on the Jets and Dolphins and at least try to consider them, like, Devontae Parker could go off and be one of the top five fantasy receivers or something, but is he really going to be considered the division MVP because the Dolphins aren't in the conversation at the end of the year? That's what's the kind of the problem for me. So, like, production versus the value towards wins – it's hard not to go with quarterbacks, even though we say Josh Allen maybe isn't going to be considered as much. We're going to obviously we've seen it. We know what we're getting from him. And if he's able to really establish that connection with Stephon Diggs, I agree. That's a great pick. And I, you know, going with Gilmore, I, you know, that's another guy considered at least for the Patriots defense. I still look at them as a unit as a whole. That's just so strong. It's hard for me to just look at one guy and think that he's going to get that credit by the end of the year. So yeah, Cam Newton, probably the easy pick, but I'm going to go with Cam Newton here just because I do believe if he's fully healthy that in with Josh McDaniels and Belichick, I just believe in what they're able to do, what those guys have been able to do with Tom for so long, but also just obviously completely different skill set. But I think they're excited for that challenge. So I think he's going to benefit from that. It doesn't have to be, you know, the Cam Newton NFL MVP to win MVP of this division. This division does not have maybe the number of candidates that we're going to see as we go through this these other divisions that we really consider for this title. So that factors in for me as well. I just think by the end of it, and this maybe is a little bit of a preview in my own mind of what I'm going to end up picking for the division winner. yeah, I'm going to go with Cam here just because it just fits a little better. Even if the Bills offense is great and Stephon Diggs is great, if the Patriots win the division again and Cam puts up anything close to what we've seen from him in the past, it's hard to pass on him.
Yeah, well, I'll let you have the offensive one. We try to be different, and so there you go. I went with the defense. You went with the offense. Either way, I mean, as you can tell, well, Tom Brady's in Tampa, and we're sitting here still on the Patriots bandwagon. Like, we're picking them for our division MVP. So that kind of tells you, you know, how we look at it here in terms of entering the season. I'm picking the best defensive player. You're picking potentially the best offensive player on their roster. So that's it's the Patriots, man. That's what they do, right? So they find a way, and it seems like at this point we seem to think the Patriots may find a way to do it again, but you won't know for sure until we do our full NFL predictions episode here in several weeks. So there you go. There is a look at the AFC East, and we say all those things about how we worry about this being a bad division, but yet you heard the excitement in our voice for some of these players and teams. And so it's like, who knows? Maybe we'll see, but those tough schedules could turn out to be the difference here for the teams in this division. But Dylan, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Sports are back, and the NFL seems to be coming back on time, at least at this point. The NBA, they're starting normal regular season games here in several days. And baseball, kind of teased it earlier, they're having their own issues right now. But needless to say, sports are back, and we've got a lot of stuff going on over at Clutch Points to keep you up with all of it, even if it is the stuff happening off the field.
Yeah, you can follow all of our coverage of now. We got some MLB coverage as well, not outside of just covering watching the games. But if you want to listen and follow the games, go to the Clutch Points app to the MLB section there. Yeah, NBA game is going to be starting up in just a few days, a couple days after this podcast is up. So excited for those games to get going, even though, yeah, MLB, we'll see what happens. Obviously, the Marlins outbreak impacting that. But an NBA bubble, at least so far, it sounds like everything's good to go. So that will be covered there. And then, yeah, on the website, you can go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL section there with all of our NFL coverage covering everything as these camps eventually get going. It's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. Less travel, hopefully, but once the season's back with the NFL compared to baseball. But nonetheless, still a concerning thing. But yeah, we'll have that all covered. Hopefully fantasy football starts on time. We'll be getting that content as well on the Clutch Points website, looking at breakout candidates, guys whose carries and targets are bound to go up, go down, all that kind of stuff. We'll have covered in the next few weeks here.
Yep, and I'll also do probably 2,500 words dedicated to Devontae Parker and Preston Williams. So there you go. Keep that in mind, but no, in all seriousness, check out all the great stuff over Clutch Points. Lots of stuff going on over there. And as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, just search for it there. Thanks, as always, to the fine folks at Blue Wire and BetOnline for all that they do. And thank you guys for listening. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.